Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Loving Your Spouse When You Feel Like Walking Away by Gary Chapman is a practical relationship book focused on marriages that have become painful, exhausting, or emotionally stuck. Written for readers who may be living with infidelity, addiction, depression, abuse, or persistent neglect. It offers a counseling-informed and pastoral approach to desperation, rather than a theoretical discussion of marriage in general. The book argues that even when one partner feels hopeless, meaningful change may still begin through disciplined personal choices, clearer boundaries, and a more accurate understanding of the marriage dynamic. It is not framed as a quick fix or a guarantee of reconciliation. Instead, it presents realistic steps for preserving safety, reducing emotional chaos, and creating conditions in which trust and connection may slowly recover. Its purpose is to give an individual spouse concrete guidance when the other partner is unwilling or unable to engage fully. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Chapman writes for the spouse who feels alone in a desperate marriage. A defining feature of the book is that it is designed for one reader, not a cooperative couple. That matters because many marriage books assume both partners are ready to work together, while this one begins from a more realistic starting point. One spouse may be exhausted, discouraged, and carrying the entire emotional burden. Chapman treats that situation as central rather than exceptional. The result is a book that speaks directly to the person who cannot get mutual participation, whether because the other spouse is withdrawn, defensive, addicted, unfaithful, or simply uninterested. This focus shapes the book's practical value. Instead of offering advice that depends on perfect reciprocity, it emphasizes what an individual can still do to alter the emotional climate of the relationship. That approach also lowers the barrier to entry for readers who feel ashamed, isolated, or stuck. They do not need to wait for their spouse to agree before beginning. The book, therefore, functions less like a couple's workbook and more like a guide for surviving relational crisis with clarity and agency. Often each teening. Secondly, rejecting the myths that keep troubled marriages trapped in hopelessness, Chapman's argument is not only about behavior, it is also about the beliefs that keep people immobilized. A major theme is that distressed spouses often absorb harmful assumptions, such as the idea that nothing can change, that their only realistic options are endurance or divorce, or that their partner's behavior defines the entire future of the marriage. The book works against those assumptions by reframing the situation as one in which positive change is still possible, even if limited at first. This is important because despair often narrows perception. When a marriage feels unbearable, people may stop noticing small openings for improvement or may assume that any effort is futile. Chapman challenges that mindset by urging readers to recognize and reject myths that distort judgment. The practical consequence is psychological flexibility. Once the story a spouse tells about the marriage becomes less absolute, it becomes easier to think in terms of responses, boundaries, and next steps. The book does not deny deep damage, but it resists totalizing conclusions that eliminate hope before any action has been tried. Thirdly, personal responsibility is the first lever for changing the relationship climate. One of the book's most consistent ideas is that a spouse cannot control the other person, but can still take responsibility for personal reactions, choices, and patterns. Chapman emphasizes thoughts, feelings, and actions because those are the areas where an individual retains agency even in a damaged marriage. This is not presented as blame-shifting or as a denial of the spouse's harmful behavior. Rather, it is a practical recognition that waiting for the other person to improve may leave the relationship frozen indefinitely. By focusing on self-directed change, the book gives the reader a concrete place to start. That might mean responding more thoughtfully, reducing escalations, practicing empathy, or choosing actions that do not intensify conflict. The underlying logic is that relational atmospheres are partly shaped by repeated patterns, and one person's changes can sometimes interrupt destructive cycles. This is one of the book's more distinctive contributions. It replaces passive suffering with disciplined response. Even when the marriage cannot be fully repaired, the reader may still gain emotional stability, clearer judgment, and a less chaotic way of living inside the relationship. Fourthly, how empathy, forgiveness, and better understanding can shift conflict without denying harm. Chapman gives substantial attention to seeing a spouse's behavior through a more compassionate lens. The point is not to excuse abuse, betrayal, or neglect, but to reduce the level of misunderstanding that often fuels conflict. In a wounded marriage, people typically interpret each other through pain, and pain quickly becomes a filter for every interaction. The book encourages readers to consider what might be driving the spouse's behavior and to respond with empathy where possible. That approach is paired with forgiveness, which in Chapman's framework is less about pretending nothing happened and more about refusing to remain trapped in reactive bitterness. The value of this topic is that it connects emotional insight with practical change. A spouse who understands the difference between explanation and excuse can hold both compassion and boundaries at the same time. That balance is what gives the book some of its realism. It does not imagine that kindness alone solves severe problems, but it does argue that a different emotional posture can reduce hostility and make healthier conversations more possible over time. Lastly, safety boundaries and the limits of repair in abuse, infidelity, and addiction. The book stands out because it does not present every marriage as equally repairable or every problem as solvable through persistence alone. Chapman acknowledges severe issues such as abuse, infidelity, addiction, depression, and emotional withdrawal, and he treats abuse with particular seriousness. That is crucial, because relationship books sometimes overemphasize perseverance while underplaying danger. Here, the advice includes practical boundaries and a clear recognition that an abused spouse must seek safety and should not try to solve the problem alone. This limitation is one of the book's strengths. It prevents hope from becoming denial. It also gives the book credibility for readers whose marriages are genuinely unstable rather than merely disappointing. At the same time, Chapman recognizes that some marriages will end in divorce and that not every situation can be repaired. That realism makes the book more useful than works that imply unconditional endurance is always the correct answer. Its contribution is therefore twofold. It offers a path toward possible healing while preserving the right to name harm honestly and to prioritize protection when necessary. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers in severe marital distress who are not looking for abstract relationship theory, but for guidance they can use immediately. It will be especially relevant to spouses dealing with betrayal, chronic conflict, emotional withdrawal, addiction, depression, or abuse, as long as they understand that the book is about discernment and response, not guaranteed reconciliation. Its main benefit is that it gives a person in a one-sided crisis concrete steps for thinking differently, acting more deliberately, and setting boundaries without surrendering to despair. Compared with many marriage books, it stands out because it is written for the partner who is already carrying the burden alone and may have little support from the other side. It also differs from more idealized relationship books by acknowledging that some marriages cannot be saved and that safety must come before repair in abusive situations. That combination of hope, realism, and pastoral counseling perspective is what makes it distinctive in its category. Readers who want an honest, grounded guide for a very hard marriage will find it more practical than inspirational rhetoric and more compassionate than rigid advice. If you would like to support Gary Chapman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.